I've been thinking about that it might be fulfilled. Those few words, we find it several places in the Bible. This happened so that it might be fulfilled, some scripture way back there that told about the events that were going to come. And then we read places where Mary heard about some of these things, and it says she pondered them in her heart. She just quietly thought them over and kind of left it up to God of what the future would hold. So I'm thinking about, for this afternoon, you ever heard of a bucket list?
Yeah.
It's a list of things. I was looking it up this morning. A list of things that I want to get accomplished before I leave out of here. And to many people, it's, I'd like to go to Hawaii, I'd like to do all these things. But I would like for us to think about this bucket list that God had for Jesus to fulfill. So let's think about these words, and I would want to look at a few scriptures this afternoon of prophecies of Christ. And when it happened, it would say, this happened, that it might be fulfilled, something way back there, part of God's ways way back there, the plan that he had. So let's look at a little bit of them. And starts out in Matthew is some that I want to look at for a little bit. And we read these. We've known the story of Jesus all along. But I started noticing just a few verses. Matthew 1 and 19. We've heard this story. We've read it before. When Joseph heard about that his wife-to-be was expecting, it says, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now this next verse, 22nd. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. So I look at this, and we're coming up on Christmas time and the thoughts of it. You know, I thought of this. When you're going through the store and you're hearing the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, let some of these things go through your mind a little bit of Jesus, the things that he did, the things that happened to him, and it's fulfillment of a scripture way back there somewhere. And with this one, it was spoken of, it came to pass because it was a fulfillment of something that happened far back. Was given far back. And then there was another one, and we see this one in second chapter of Matthew 2 and 4. When Herod told them, I want to go worship this child, three wise men had come to him. And it says when Herod heard these things, third verse, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And you know, what if they just told him, we don't have a clue where he's supposed to be born. But look at this. Fifth verse, they said unto him, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So there was a knowledge of what was prophesied back there a long time ago, and it's going to come to fulfillment. And then there was something else that happened. You remember when he told the wise men, he said, go down there and worship him, and then come back and let me know, because I'd like to go worship him too. The Lord came to them, the message came to them, go back a different way. Herod was upset, and he goes and kills all of the children in the coast around there. That's hard for us to imagine. This was all happening in this time. And yet, that it might be fulfilled. Along comes this a long time back. that says that he's going to be taken to Egypt. Remember, it was the Lord that came to him in a dream, Joseph, and said, I want you to take the child, I want you to go to Egypt. You know, a lot of times, what is it? Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. I would have thought, this is Jesus, the Son of God. We don't need to go anywhere. Nothing's going to happen to him. And yet God himself, and it goes on down to say, you know what? That it might be fulfilled what was said a long time ago. And then in 2 and 17, after all the children were killed, 16th verse says he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And you know what? There's a prophecy way back there that said this is going to happen. It says that then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, great mourning. You know, I think of this, what that would be, talk about great mourning, that here he doesn't have a clue. You know, we were just saying this morning, we don't have a date when he was born. He just took it from the wise men about what kind of time this would be right here and went ahead and killed all the children around there for just in case. I might miss it for Bethlehem. Maybe he moved out a little bit. That it might be fulfilled. So I look at all these, and I even go on over here a little more in Matthew 2 and 21. They're in Egypt now, and they're coming. The message comes to them that now they are dead. This is 20th verse of 2nd chapter. They are dead which sought the young child's life. He arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. You know, all these things are just his movements, but he doesn't realize it. But God is moving him around. So it says, when he heard, 22nd verse, that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father, he was afraid to go there, thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city of Nazareth. You know, he's probably just thinking, I'm making decisions on my own. And really what was happening, God was moving him around. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He's going to be called a Nazarene. So I look at these, and there are so many more in the scriptures that would tell us that it might be fulfilled, this happened. But here's what I want us to look at for just a little bit this afternoon. The Jews' expectation of who Christ would be, how the Son of God would be presented. If I had been living in that time, would I have seen it any different than they did? What their expectation was. When they were looking for a deliverer, they were looking for a physical deliverer. We are tired of the Roman rule, and we've even got some scriptures that it might be fulfilled. We've got some scriptures that were just waiting for the fulfillment of it. So here's a couple that I want us to look at. If we went back to Isaiah, if you were longing for deliverance and you see some of these prophecies, what would come to your mind? In 9 and 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That sounded pretty good for somebody wanting deliverance. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, sometimes I can pick out a scripture that I say, this is a scripture that I love. I like this one. This is deliverance sure coming. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He's going to establish it with justice from henceforth even forever. That's a good sounding verse. Then there's another one. Over in Daniel, in the 2nd chapter and the 44th, in that dream, the vision that he had, He's telling him in the 44th verse, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now that sounds great if you were a Jew. There's something coming. We're going to have deliverance coming. It shall never be destroyed. The kingdom will not be left to other people. It's going to break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So if you had that as a view, what would you be expecting to see when Jesus came? You know, it seemed like the last thing you'd be expecting to see is a little baby born in a manger to poor parents. And what are you going to be able to have come from that? But all this is part of God's moving and working in their lives. And even whenever, Herod told the chief priests, tell me, where is he supposed to be? Part of that was that he's going to be a governor is going to come from this. And they had expectation of something to be able to happen. And what I'm interested in today is in 2025, I can search through scripture. And I can, you know, we could kind of say there's a lot of scripture in there that's prophecy. All the promises are for us. And I can pick and choose the promises. Whenever I look at these prophecies about in the day of these kings, the God of heaven's going to set up a kingdom, I say that's a literal one and it's going to happen one of these days. I'm looking for it. And when Jesus comes along and what he's teaching you is if you get smitten on one cheek, you turn the other to him also. You're not going to be taking over kingdoms physically that way. So I look at this because what would they have done if they had also tied these in with Isaiah, the 53rd chapter? What is the 53rd chapter? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is a picture of this Christ that is coming. This is prophecy. This is prophecy just like the one that said, unto us a child is born. Of the increase of his government there'll be no end. This one says, he hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. This is the Christ that has prophecy just like the other one did of saying he's going to be a ruler. So I look at these things. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Well, that's a different picture. But you know what? That's prophecy of him, just like the other prophecy was. And what I'm looking at is, you know, Jesus never endorsed that he was going to set up a kingdom down here. In fact, he told them over in Luke in the 17th chapter. Because we find that even his followers expected something to happen here. Luke 17 and 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. The kingdom of God is within you. So I look at this. That just kind of knocked out all the theory of it's going to be a physical kingdom. And he was trying to let them know that. You know, even the disciples themselves, they saw this to be, there's something coming and we want to be a part of it. What would it talk about? They disputed among themselves who should be the greatest in it. This kingdom is not of this world. And I'm looking at for us today. You know what? I would like to be able to say there will be good things come in my life by having been a Christian. There will be. We have the positive scriptures here that telling about Jesus coming. But we also see that he's going to have some suffering come with him in it. I don't want to go through scripture and pick and choose. And I want the ones that look good and I don't want the other ones. You know, there were many of them that was prophecies of Christ, and some of those prophecies told about how he would die. This really is a prophecy of the trouble that he would go through. There was another verse that talks about the king's going to come, but he's going to come lowly. And you know, when he entered Jerusalem, he could have ridden in on a stallion, a white stallion or something that's prancing and got a lot of energy. But for him to come in riding on a donkey, and it was low from the beginning to the end. And it says he didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister and give his life a ransom for many. So the expectation that people had of him, you remember when Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, he said, "What did you go out expecting to see? What were you thinking you're going to see somebody in fine clothing? Those are the ones that are in king's houses. What were you expecting when you went out to see John?" Well, you know what? John was soon put in prison. He's the one that started a message. I'm preparing the way. I'm not the one. I'm preparing the way of somebody that's coming that just tying his shoes. I'm not worthy to be able to do that. But you know what? Some time passed. And John, I want to look at a couple places. In John, in the first chapter, when Jesus came to John, here's what John had to say. John 1 and 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now you know he had a vision of who Jesus was. But you know what? Some time passed. He sat in jail for a long time, and he had thoughts. You know, we can have thoughts start running through our head to where one day we're saying like he is, "Behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world." And then he had some questions start coming to him in Matthew in the 11th chapter, because you would think that he would never have a question, but he needed some reassurance. In Matthew 11 and 2. "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou he that should come?" You know, this is quite a bit different than the first time when he saw him. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Did I get this wrong in my mind? Trouble has come to me where I expected things to really be good. Trouble has come to me now, and I'm just not sure. Can you let me know? Maybe you are the Son of God, or maybe you're not, and we should be looking for another one. What did Jesus do? Did he say, "Well, yes, I'm the Son of God. You admitted it yourself before"? He said, "No, go back and just tell John he hadn't been able to come around and see. Just go back and tell him the things that are happening, how God is working through Jesus. Just go back and tell him those that have been healed." So I look at those. There were expectations from prophecies that were a long way back, scripture. I can pick up scripture in my mind today, and I can hang on to that one. This is the direction I want my life to go. God put prophecy back there to tell about Jesus coming. He told about him being able to his government, there would be no end. You know what? That's the truth. It's going on still today to those who are willing to be under that government. And I'm thankful for that. He also said this is not going to be just like a king on a throne. He's going to go through some suffering. He's going to be despised and rejected. You know, he was rejected by everybody. Even his disciples fled when he needed them most. So I look at these things. And also when the disciples had some kind of a view in their mind, this thing has got a literal something coming. And we're in place to be able to be a partaker of that. We're going to be right up here at the top. And he's going along and he says, what were y'all talking about back here? And he said they didn't want to tell him. It was because they had been disputing between each other of who was going to be the greatest. And he let them know, this isn't the way it's going to be. There is also another one. After Jesus has died And on the road to Emmaus, here's, because we can have thoughts in our mind, this is how it ought to go. I can expect it to go this way. In Luke 24 and 21. So there, Jesus has come along and he's walking with them and they don't even realize who he is. And he's asking them, why are you so sad? And they're telling him, are you a stranger here? Have you not heard about 19th verse concerning Jesus of Nazareth? Was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and the people? How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Look at this. This is how we had seen it to be. This is how we expected it to be. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, this is the third day since these things were done. We had in our mind, here's how it ought to go. God's way is best. Heart cease thy struggling to see and to know and to understand. And even after Jesus rose from the dead, we have another place in Acts in the first chapter. You know, the disciples just were not ready to let this go. It says, first chapter and sixth verse, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Surely this is going to be a temporal kingdom down here. And maybe now that you have risen from the dead, this kingdom is going to get started now. But instead, this kingdom has gone on until we get to be a partaker of it today. I want us to look at a song, number 32. Because today, we get to be a partaker of this. It says in the first verse, there is a theme that is sweet to my memory. There is a joy that I cannot declare. There's a treasure that gladdens my being. It's the kingdom of righteousness here. You know, if we had looked at it to only be Jesus coming to the world to deliver them from the Romans, if he had delivered them from the Romans, you know what? A few years later, there would be somebody else that they would have to fight with. But instead, he came to deliver us from Satan. There's a treasure that gladdens my being. It's the kingdom of righteousness here. There's a scene of its grandness before me. You know what? I want to have that view. The reason Jesus came, of his greatness, there can be no end. It is joy. You remember the one where it says, child's going to be born. Of the increase of his peace, there be no end. It is joy. It is peace. It is glory. In my heart, how these riches do blend. It's a kingdom of peace. It's not happening over in Jerusalem. It is reigning within. It shall ever increase in my soul. We possess it right here. You know, I'm glad it's not something just happened in Jerusalem and it was a little time where they spent some years without an oppressor. But instead, he brought something that we can enjoy today. And I am thankful for it. Maybe we can stand and sing that song because it ends with, what a pleasure in life this kingdom is bringing. I am thankful that it didn't end up just being a literal kingdom, because there would have been somebody else come along to fight against it. It's a spiritual kingdom, and I can be a partaker of it here. Maybe we can sing number 32. And he like it shall ever increase, just as long as you can hold increase.
'Tis a kingdom of